Place. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and will fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path. Because of my oppressors, do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Mike, let's just pray for Mike as he brings God's word to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mike, Lord, and we thank you for all that he means to us here at Oakley. And Lord, we just ask you to come by the power of your Holy Spirit on him again today and speak boldly through him the words that you would have spoken here today to build up your kingdom in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, good morning everyone again. Great to see so many of you here. It's lovely, really is lovely. And each week there's something different that we're adding or moving forward with. You may think that the work here is finished, building work wise that is, but it isn't, far from it. That's something new that we've got today. Hope you like that. And each week there'll be something additional going on here. At the back, or the storage room, or the youth halls, there's building work going on. The back of the building has all been repointed. You won't see that, and you won't know the benefit of it, but you would have noticed it if it hadn't been done, because you would have had water coming down through those walls in due course. So it's invisible work, and that's how God works sometimes, isn't he? He works in ways that we don't see, but if he hadn't done what he has done, there will be consequences for us down the line, and it's very often how God works. He works unseen, and we benefit without even knowing that he does. But he's so gracious, because we don't even have the opportunity to thank him. That's why it's important to thank God at all times, even when we think we don't have anything to thank him for. There is always stuff to thank him for, both known and unknown, in all the unseen work that he continues to do in our lives on a daily basis. Anyway, I hadn't meant to say any of that, but I did. Just to say next week, another reminder, next week we have John Coles coming to speak here, international speaker, former vicar of St. Barnabas and former leader of New Wine. And he was actually the person who actually sent out me and the original team to plant Oakley. We had his wife, Anne Coles, a few weeks ago. Now we've got John Coles coming next week. So don't miss that. It'll be a great opportunity to hear him, and he'll minister to us in the power of the Holy Spirit as well. So put that in your diaries for next week. Okay, we're looking at Psalm 27. We're just having all one-off sermons throughout the summer period until September, and then we'll begin a new series then. We're looking at Psalm 27 today, and I want us to focus this morning on the topic of fear that this psalm relates to. And I would hazard a guess here this morning and say there's probably not a single person among us who doesn't struggle with fear or worry at some time or other, particularly in our current world crisis at this time. All of us can give testimony of a battle with fear in our lives. And fear is an enemy. It actually attacks us. It's a mighty power. It's an active force. And there are times when it just threatens to swallow us up and make us slaves. And yet, impossible as it may seem, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called not to be fearful. And the Bible says, fear not 365 times, one for each day of the year. Now, this morning, in giving this message, I'm not expecting you. My expectation isn't that you leave this service saying, oh, now that I've heard that sermon, I will never be afraid again. That's not what I'm expecting. My hope is that most of you will leave this place this morning saying, now that I have heard the word of God, whenever this enemy, fear, makes an assault on my life and tries to enslave me, I will fight this enemy on the basis of the truth that God has revealed to me this morning. That is what my hope will be for us all today. And I want us this morning to look at the teaching of the Bible and to use it to help overcome this enemy of fear in our lives. Most of us, if we're honest, live with a degree of fear, more so during this time of great uncertainty with the pandemic. What if I lose my health? What if I lose my business? What if I lose my job? How am I going to pay my bills? What about my children's education? What about their future? What's going to happen? And so on and so on and so on. What does tomorrow have in store for me? What's going to happen? And we're afraid, and we're anxious, and we're worried. And our thinking and our lives, if we're not careful, can become dominated by a series of what-ifs, leaving us surrounded by doom, gloom, and depression. And our thinking and our and in the midst of all these fears and anxieties, David in this psalm, in verse 1, says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? So David is saying here, in the light of these wonderful truths about God, why should I be afraid? Why should I tremble? And some of you will probably be hearing that this morning, and you're saying, what? Are you being serious? If you knew the issues and the life circumstances that I'm facing right now, you wouldn't be telling me not to be afraid. And the word of God here is not asking us to bury our heads in the sand and pretend that we don't have problems, that we don't have fears, that we don't have anxieties. That's not what it's saying. Of course we have those things. What David is saying is, don't capitulate to this power. Don't allow the power of fear to enslave your spirit and dominate your life. Do not be afraid. Don't let it consume you and direct your life. There is never a circumstance in your life in which it is the will of God for you to be afraid or to worry. Never. God says, do not be afraid. Why? Well, because when the hard time comes, not if, but when, they will come to all of us, I will help you deal with them. Isaiah 43 promises this. Isaiah 43 says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I want us to look this morning at three things very briefly that hopefully will help us in our battle with fear. First, I want us to recognize and realize that it's God who gives us our lives in the first place. Then I want us to realize what our relationship with God is as believers. And then I want us to realize how pointless and futile your fears are this morning. Our fears are this morning. First of all, recognize, realize that it's God who gives you life. As we get older, we tend to think more about our mortality, even more so as a result of this current pandemic. It just brings it home to us all the more. How long will I live? Will I reach an old age or will I die young? Will I die of an illness or will it be an accident? And so on and so on. I want you to think about your life for a moment. How did this life that you have come about? Well, the life that you have been given is the very gift of God to you. No one ever decided to be born. None of us can remember being born. Hands up if you do remember that. So glad I don't. We had very little to do with it, didn't we? It was something that happened to us. The fact is that you're here and you're alive is for one reason and one reason only. That God decided to give you life. God decided. We saw that last week in Psalm 139. For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has given you life. You would never have been born if it were not for the will of God that you should have been born. Saw that last week, 139. And you wouldn't be alive today except for one thing. God wants you to live. That's why you're alive. So this morning, are you afraid? Are you worried about your life? Don't be. You have life now because God wants you to have it. And you will have it as long as He wants you to have it. Some of you will know Beryl Lambert, who died a few weeks ago. And both Beryl and I were praying for months and months and months for her to die. Because her life just wasn't a life, it was an existence. She was bedbound and she was in a home that she didn't want to be in, and she just wanted the Lord to take her. And she would say, why won't He take me? I want to go. And I prayed for months that the Lord would take her. She prayed that the Lord would take her, and He wouldn't. He wouldn't. And I don't know why He didn't take her. Praise God He's taken her now. I don't know why He didn't take her sooner. I don't know why she had to continue to suffer all that time, bedridden and totally dependent on others. I don't know. But you're alive today because God wants you to be alive. and you have life because God wants you to have it for as long as he wants you to have it. And until the day when, if you're a Christian, he wants you in heaven, and then on that day, you will be in heaven with him. And it will not be one day sooner or one day later than he determines. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, Psalm 139. God gives you life, and your life is in his hands, and so is everything else. So never think for a moment that he could lose his grip on your life. The life you have has been given by God to you, and that life is in his control. So don't be afraid. So recognize, realize that it's God who gives you life. Secondly, realize what your relationship, if you're a believer here, a follower of Jesus this morning, realize your relationship with him. Verse 8, in the psalm we had read, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. God's desire, passion for us to come and talk with him in prayer. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. In verses 6 to 10, David reminds himself that his true security is found in the Lord. Even if his parents were to abandon him, some of you will know what that is like here this morning. But David is secure in his relationship with God, his Father, who will keep him close. And the best way to regain our perspective in times of fear is to meet with God. Come and talk with me, he says. It's to meet with God. In times of crisis, we must remind ourselves that what we need most in life are not easier circumstances, but to be in the presence of God more. And David saw the fear-filled times that he was going through as invitations from the Lord to come and talk with me, with him. And one of the best things to do in fear-filled times is to run to the Lord. Come and talk with him. And if you're a Christian here this morning, understand this. God is your heavenly, your perfect heavenly Father. Regardless of what your view of your earthly father is, God is your perfect heavenly Father. What a real father should be like, a perfect father should be like. And the Bible tells us that God's love for us as a parent far exceeds anything we as human parents, much as we love our children, can understand. It's unfathomable to the human mind. So isn't it inconceivable, if that's true, isn't it inconceivable then that God, who brought you into his own family at infinite cost, the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ, would seriously abandon you or fail you? To do so would undermine everything he has done in the cross of Jesus Christ. So it is unthinkable that God would do such a thing. He can no longer abandon you than he can abandon himself. So do not be afraid. Realize who's given you life. Realize what your relationship with God is. And thirdly and finally, realize how pointless your fears are. Think of the time that you spend and the time, the mental and emotional energy that are channeled into our fears. Think about it. All the things that you've worried about. Even this week, the time and emotion and effort that you've channeled into those fears. What return did you get for that investment? What did you achieve by being so fearful? Have you added a single hour to your life? If you fear about your life and your health, for 10, 20, or 30 years, will it make 1 hour's difference to your lifespan? The fact is that the vast majority of things that we fear never actually materialize. The reality is we often fear things that we really have no control over. We have no control over the ultimate things in life, because the ultimate things are always in the hands of God. I prayed for Beryl to die, but she didn't, because it's not in my hands. That is one of the ultimate things, and ultimately, God determined when that would have been. So this morning, are you trying to live as if the ultimate things were in your hands? Do you really think that you are in control of your life? Well, you're not. If nothing else, what the current pandemic has brought home to us is how little control over our lives we actually have. Because the ultimate things are always in the hand of God. So for example, we can share our faith with those around us, but ultimately, only God can bring them to faith. It's a supernatural thing. You can look after your body. You can exercise, you can eat healthy, and it's right that you should do those things because your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we should look after our bodies. We have a responsibility to do that. We had a builder come yesterday to look at some work to do, and he had a big stomach like that. And I said to him, "Whoa, man," I said, "you need to lose some weight and you need to lose it quickly." He was really taken aback, you know. I said, "You need to look after your, need to look after your health. You can't, you know, you can't just let it go to waste like that, to pot like that." And I got him thinking. He said, "Yeah, you're right." He said, "You know, I've got to do something about it. It's Christmas, and I still haven't got over Christmas." He said, "He said I had so much food in the house, I just couldn't throw it away, so I just ate it all, and this is, and this is the result." This is the result of it. He said, "And I still haven't managed to lose it. But anyway, but he's going to do so now," he said. "So next time I see him, I'll measure his waist and see if he's done." It's good to look after your body, but you can still die of a disease. Ultimately, only God can protect you. But the thing is, you're called to do what you can do. This is how I govern and base my life. I do what I can do in every area of my life. What can I do humanly? I can pray, which is the first and most important thing. What other things can I do to make something happen or to where I do it? And then I say, "Right, Lord, the rest of it I can't do. So it's over to you now." So we're called to do what we can do and trust God. You know, if you want a job, you look in the job adverts. You don't just say, "God, drop a job in my hand." If you want to catch a bus, you go to the bus stop. You know, you don't say, "Lord, bring the bus outside my house, please." So that's the principle. We're called to do what we can do. And we trust God with all that we can't do. We leave those things with him. And we don't worry about them because they're not in our control. And in doing so, recognizing that he's your loving heavenly Father and that ultimately he will always do what is best for you. We can pray for our children. We can pray for their salvation. We can pray for their purity. We can pray that they'll have a wonderful, godly Christian partner, spouse one day, that they'll have godly, healthy children. We can pray, and it's right to pray for all those things. But ultimately, only God. We can pray for them that they'll know and love Jesus all their lives. And it's good and right, and we're called to do that. But ultimately, only God can deliver those things. Recognize that he's your loving heavenly Father, and that ultimately, he will always do what is best for you. He cannot do other. He will. That's why you can trust him. That's why we can just say, "Holy Spirit, come and do what you want," because we can trust that it will always be the right thing for us. Verse 11 says, "Teach me how to live, O Lord. He will always do what's best for us. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right paths. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Do what you can do. Leave the ultimate things to God. Verse 14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. So as we conclude this morning, take this away with you. Put it up on your wall at home as I have in my office. Never fear trusting the unknown to a known God. Never fear trusting the unknown to a known God. Impress that on your hearts and minds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the next hour holds, the next half hour holds. But I do know who holds tomorrow. And that's the important thing. That's the key. The future lies in the hand of God. And He is your loving, perfect Heavenly Father. So aim to live a life that is not consumed by fear or governed by fear. Do you know, I'll share something with you that I just very quickly just encourage you in case you are consumed. I have a fear of flying. And as I look back on my life, I think, gosh, how many fantastic holidays have I missed out on because of my fear of flying? Missed out on so much. And I'm thinking, what an idiot. I allowed fear to consume me and to direct my life, control it. How much I've missed out on because of fear. What a waste. It's still there, but it doesn't consume me. It doesn't consume me. That's the difference, and that's what I'm trying to get across today. That yes, we're going to have the fears, but we need to face them and not allow them to consume us. Yes, I do still fear flying, but will it stop me from doing the things I want to do? No, it won't do that now. It won't do that, but it will be a battle for me still. So aim to live a life that is not consumed by fear. Aim not to worry about things that you can't control or change. And remember, God is your Heavenly Father, and He walks with you every step of the way. Isaiah 43, as we close. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So I want us to pray. And can I invite you, if you're able to, in the first instance, to stand. And if you're not, just remain seated. Or sit down if you get tired afterwards. But I just want to pray and just invite you all for a response. We don't have a ministry team yet. We're hoping maybe from September we'll see what COVID is like, and we're looking to hopefully introduce a ministry team back around September, October time, so we can begin to pray and minister to people on a one-to-one basis again. But in the meantime, the Holy Spirit is the ministry team. Father, we want to thank you that you are a perfect Heavenly Father. And thank you that all things are in your hands. Thank you that you will only ever do what is best for us. Thank you, Lord, that it's you that gives us life, and it's you that controls that life ultimately. Thank you for our relationship with you as God the Father, and that you just want everything that is best for us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you've pointed out to us this morning how pointless our fears are, that in your strength we do not have to be consumed by these fears, Lord. We don't have to allow them to dictate our lives. And I want us this morning now, by way of response, if you have a particular fear or concern at the moment, or it could be more than one, as we just wait in silence in a moment in the Holy Spirit, I want you to, in your mind's eye, we've done this before, but it's just quite powerful, I think. If you can see yourself holding, because that's what you're doing, you're holding that fear and that anxiety, and it's consuming you, and it's directing your life, I want you to look at it as you're holding it in your hands, in your mind's eye. Look down and you see that fear or those fears, whatever they are. And as you look at them, I want you to say to those fears, I don't have to carry you anymore. And then in your mind's eye, I want you to look up at the cross of Jesus Christ. And then slowly begin carrying your fears, begin to walk. You might want to start doing that now. Start walking towards the cross of Jesus Christ. Step at a time. Foot at a time. And as you reach the foot of the cross, look up and just say, thank you, Jesus, that not only did you die for my sins, but you died for my afflictions, my anxieties, my fears. Thank you that you dealt with all of those on the cross. And because you did that, I can now leave my fears and anxieties with you. And just look at your fears and anxiety and just say in your mind's eye, fear and anxiety, you have no hold on me. Jesus has dealt with you. I leave you at the foot of his cross right now. And I want you to just, in your mind's eye, just place those fears and anxieties at the foot of the cross. Have you done that? Now I want you to just stand back up and then to turn your back on the cross and walk away from the fears and the anxieties, leaving them with Jesus at the foot of his cross. And I want to pray for you as you have done that. Father, I want to thank you that you've dealt with our fears and anxieties. And Lord, we're saying to you this morning that we know that even though we've just gone through this simple exercise in our mind's eye this morning, that there still will be times when those fears and anxieties will revisit us, that they will rear their ugly heads and try and consume us and dictate our lives again. And at those times, Lord, I pray that you will remind me of this morning, and that you will remind me afresh that I have left my fears with you, and that they do not have to consume me. And I pray that at those times, you will just give me the strength to be able to deal with them and not allow them to dictate my decisions. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for you now that the Lord will give you strength to stand against this enemy of fear. Holy Spirit, will you come now and just impart your strength? Impart your strength to your people here this morning against this enemy of fear and anxiety. Come, Holy Spirit. Strengthen, impart, encourage. And for others of you this morning, I just want to pray for a fresh assurance that God remains in control of your life as you continue to yield it to him. Because some of you need assurance Holy Spirit, will you come and bring fresh assurance into the lives of your people here this morning as they need it? Father, help us to continue to yield our lives to you daily in the sure and certain knowledge that you are in control and that you will always do what is best for us. Thank you, Lord. We receive your assurance now. Thank you. As we remain in a spirit of prayer and worship and receiving, we're just, as part of our ongoing ministry time, we're going to go into our final song, I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear, as part of our continued response and ministry time with the Holy Spirit.